Scripture reading is going to be from Galatians chapter 6, and that's 6 through 10. Galatians 6, 6 through 10. God's word reads, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That concludes the scripture reading.
Peace be with you. Thanks what Ryan said is how we need to start greeting from his sermon this morning. But good evening, and glad to have you guys with us as we join together again to worship God. Here at Avondale. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you're with us as well. And as always, we ask that if there's anything you have questions about, feel free to ask us after services about anything that we did or anything that you heard. And we do want to always strive to give you a Bible answer for those Bible questions that you have. Is there anything on the screen behind me? It's white, okay? That's what it is up here too. Got anything up there? Still nothing? Okay, can you go back? There should be a picture on the first one. That's not it. That's not the picture. Go to the last slide and see if the picture's there. Is there a picture? Does it show up there, a picture to you? No? Okay, that's unfortunate. All right, well, we'll get started here nonetheless. The world, the place that we live in, the world is not a kind place. The world has a lot of evil in it. The world is a place with a lot of darkness, a place with a lot of perversity. A lot of sin is in the world. And that's unfortunate because we, of course, have to live in the world. Of course, we do not need to be or should not be of the world. But it's where we live. And so I want to talk tonight to try to give you a little bit of encouragement as we look to this week of how we can live in this world. I have a feeling that most of you are living this way already. And so that saying, "I'm preaching to the choir," we of course don't have a choir, don't believe in that, so I guess I'll just say I'm preaching to those of you who are here tonight and are here a lot and here on Sunday nights. But I think this is something many of us are doing, but again, just want to use it as an opportunity to encourage you to continue living this way. And if you're not, I'll tell you, living this way that we're going to talk about tonight is extremely, extremely relieving. Is extremely, it's a catharsis to live this way, quite honestly. And it's the way that you're going to want to live if you're not. So tonight, I want us to, first of all, get that picture of how dark the world is, but only to then show the contrast of how we can still live and how we need to live in this world. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse number 13, a passage that many of us are probably familiar with, it reads, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." Christ speaking here clearly already recognizes that a majority of people are going to be evil. They're going to be doing things contrary to His way. They're going to go to that wide, destructive way. He knows that. That's the world we live in. And that's sad, but that is the reality. Christ knew that. From the Old Testament, there was always just a remnant. And today, we're that spiritual remnant. Isn't it great, just like Ryan said in his sermon this morning, when we come together as a body of Christ that meets here at Avondale or any other location throughout the world, the peace that comes with that, the comfort that comes with that. Because again, we're of a like-minded faith. And what a wisdom on the part of God to provide this institution for us. But as you continue, it says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. We want to find that way. We're on that narrow way. That's the direction we want to go. And Christ does say here very plainly, it's difficult. Why? Because we live in a dark, sinful, perverse world that tries to tempt us, tries to lure us back in, causes us to try to, as I preached last time, move. We always want to be moving forward. We want to be moving heavenward, but it tries to move us backwards. It tries to cause us to drift, as we've seen in the book of Hebrews that we've been studying on Sunday mornings. Psalm chapter 1, again, a passage as you look at Psalm 1 that we're all very, very familiar with. You get an image at the beginning of Psalm 1 of a tree, and it's a beautiful image. And of course, when you read words, the idea, if the writer does a good job, is that they do create an image in your mind. And as you begin there in Psalm 1, it said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." We could say those that are in the dark. We could say those that are of the world. He says, "Nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like..." To say in verse number 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie and wait."
that so many people out in the world are not kind.
We as Christians need to be that example of kindness. Why? Because God designed us as people who should be kind. His Word teaches us, not only here in the fruits of the Spirit, but to be kind. God expects His people to be kind. Kevin, if you'll go to the second slide and click through the first one here. Several quotes here about kindness. It says, always be a little kinder than necessary. Always be a little kinder than necessary. You'll recall in Matthew chapter 5, as you start beginning to go through what we call the Sermon on the Mount, we're told to turn the other cheek. We're told to go the extra mile. We as Christians should do things differently. That idea of going the extra mile, we shouldn't be the ones to say, that's not my job. That's not something I should have to do. We should strive to go a little further. Strive to be a little kinder. Why? Because we are the ambassadors for Christ. Who's going to do it if we're not? It sure is not going to be those people who are living in sin. It's not going to be those people that have hate in their heart. It needs to be us. Kevin, if you will, the next one. Kindness has a beautiful way of reaching down into a weary heart, that should say, and making it shine like the rising sun. Everybody's going through something. And we need to understand that when we see people, we need to find out what they're going through. We need to respect that they're going through something and treat them as a soul that needs a little bit of light shown into their life. We need to be kind to these individuals. I've heard a story before of a woman that was going along on a train, and the child was just crying and crying and crying, and eventually it bothered the passengers. And finally, somebody said to her, can you do something to get your child to be quiet? You know, could you at least maybe take her to the car in the back? And she said, I would be happy to do that, but in the back is where her father that just passed, and we're transporting him to his funeral. We don't know what people are going through, and sometimes we step on our tongues and we say things, put our foot in our mouth, when again, why don't we try to say something kind? Why don't we say something like, could I help you? What's wrong? Is there anything I can do to be of assistance? It's just a small way of changing what we said. Everybody has a weary heart from time to time. Kevin, if you will. Kindness is giving hope to those who think they are all alone in this world. And that is true with a lot of people. There is a lot of mental health that's going issues in this world. People that do feel like they're lost. They feel like they're lonely. I feel like we have seen the manifestation of some of those things with the many mass shootings that we've had in our country. Many of the bullying situations that we see in our country. A lot of the racial tensions that we have in our country. Because people are lost and they don't feel like they have a good place to turn. We need to be ones that, well, be ready always to give an answer. Show the hope, because a lot of people don't have the same hope. But kindness, and through our kindness, we can give that hope. Next, kindness is simple. It is seeing the good in everyone and celebrating it. It's not to say that everybody's doing what's right. We know, as I've already made very clear, the world is full of people that are doing sinful things, but we need to recognize they're a soul. And we need to understand, we need to celebrate their life, their soul, and try to get it closer to God and ultimately saved through that gospel plan of salvation that we all should know and embody and be prepared to teach. Kindness is simple. It's seeing the good in everyone and celebrating it. Next. The best part of life is not just surviving, but thriving with passion and compassion and humor and style and generosity and kindness. We need to make sure, just like we see in the fruits of the Spirit, that this is the way we walk. That's how it's said in Scripture. We just said, I want to be a worker. I want to be serving. Serving and working is that walk that you have each and every day. And we need to recognize that that's what our life is about. God made us as people that should be serving Him. That's our sole responsibility in this world. Serve God. And one of the things He asked us to do is to be kind. It's very simple, we've said. But you've got to live intentionally. You have to live deliberately. One of the people who said that at least that I think is one of the earliest people to say that, was Henry David Thoreau. When he went out to Walden Pond to live a simple life, he said, I'm going to go out into the woods to live deliberately. He wanted to, as he says later, to suck the marrow out of the bones of life. That's what he wanted to do. We need to live intentionally to make sure that day in and day out, we're thinking, what can I do to serve others? What can I do to be kind to my household first of all? Be kind then to my co-workers. Be kind, and as far as that extends out, what can I do? We need to be intentional about the way that we're living. And again, hopefully I'm speaking to people that do that. We talk a lot about these simple random acts of kindness. Do some of those things. Because what's awesome about being kind is it makes you feel good. Scripture tells us it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You feel so good when you serve. Not to be patted on the back because our left hand shouldn't know what our right hand's doing when we're serving and giving. But you do it because, number one, it's commanded by God. He designed us to be servants. He designed us to be kind. And we need to go out and do it. Last quote here on this screen says very simply, go be kind. It's not hard. Go be kind. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. People should recognize that we're different. If you go to the next screen there, Kevin, I want to look tonight, the story specifically to kind of encompass the idea of kindness is that of Ruth and Boaz. So if you will be turning to the book of Ruth, we'll be there for the remainder of our sermon with a few places that we'll go otherwise. But I think we're all familiar with the story of Ruth. And it's kind of a sad story when you begin. And there's a lot of stories like that in the Bible, where it's not always easy to be kind and to be upbeat and to think positively. Because, well, she goes with her mother-in-law Naomi. She's in the land of Moab when Naomi and her sons and husband come. And what happens to Naomi's husband? We know the story, right? He dies, right? So we got one death. Then her two sons marry these Moabite women. And what happens to the two sons? They die. So we got a lot of death, and I mean, it's just not a good thing. You may not want to in these kind of situations, and that's what the world's going to deal us. You know where death and sin come from? Death and negativity in the world, sin. That's what causes it. And so we need to understand that she wasn't in a place, Ruth or Naomi, in a situation where they probably felt like being real kind and real bubbly. But out of this story, we see Ruth does what is right. She follows Naomi back as much as Naomi pleads and says, daughter, go back to your gods. Go back to your homeland. She says, no, I want to follow you and I want to serve you. And that goodness on her part then seems to parlay into the goodness that she then receives. The goodness that she receives then from Boaz. Not that everything always works this perfectly, but when you do what's right and you do things God's way and you do it kindly, it's amazing how things seem to work out. And I think Scripture talks about that, doesn't it? Basically what we read, you'll reap what you sow. If you sow evil, you're going to reap evil. If you sow kindness and goodness and love, you're going to reap those things. Do we grow weary sometimes? Absolutely. Because we go out into the world and we see the darkness, the sin, the perversity. You turn on the news in the morning, primarily for us, it's to see the weather, but you can't help but see all the other terrible things that are going on in the world. And you think, what can I do? What you can do is be kind. It is as simple as that, be kind. What that starts to build is an opportunity then to take relationships further. But simply, be kind. In Leviticus chapter 19, you don't have to go there with me, but what we have here in the Levitical law is very simple that God expects His people to be kind. Even in the Levitical law, in the very beginning of chapter 19, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 1, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. God is holy, which means perfect and righteous, and clearly kindness and love would go into that. So because I'm holy, you need to be holy. And then as you look through chapter 19, law after law after law about basically being moral and being kind. Specifically in verse number 9, it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, and you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape from your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Be kind. He has to instruct them early on, leave stuff. Leave the corners. Leave what you might drop. Don't go back and pick it up, but leave it for the poor. Leave it for the foreigners, because I am a holy God and one that wants my people to be holy and kind and loving. Drop down to verse number 13. You shall not cheat your neighbor. Well, that's pretty kind, isn't it? He goes on to say, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put the stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. And we can go on and on and on. But he prefaces it all. I am God. And I am holy, and my people should also be holy. And these are just kind things to do. We need to go out, and as the last thing on the last screen said, go be kind. It's one of the fruits of the spirits, and that's not to negate or minimize any of the others, but tonight I just wanted to use the story of Ruth and Boaz to talk about let's go out and let's be kind. And again, hopefully we already are, but just wanted to reiterate it as we go out into this work week. We're not just to be kind so people will like us. That's not the idea. But you know what will happen? When you're kind, people will like you. And that's a good thing. I've heard it, you know, said before, and you've probably all heard this said before too, to have friends, you have to be a friend. So we have to be kind. And we have to be kind to people even in the world, more so even than people here. Not to say we want to be mean to each other, but what are we seeking? We're seeking the lost. Christ himself is asked by, or his disciples are asked by some of the folks there in Matthew chapter 11, I believe it is, like, why is your teacher eating with the sinners? Why? Because they're sick. They need a physician. We need to be being kind to those people. We don't need to avoid those people at work, but we need to try to engage them. Number one, maybe they'll like us more, but more so because we want to try to bring them into a relationship with Christ. In everything that we do, we need to glorify God. We need to glorify God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, let us be a light unto the world so that people can see our works, but then do what? Glorify God who is in heaven. Very simply, we need to be kind. In Ruth chapter 2, is where we're going to begin. Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We can see this kindness when Ruth gets back home with Naomi. We can see this kindness through the way that Boaz treats her. Again, we're already seeing kindness as well from Ruth and her efforts, of course, by coming back with Naomi and now wanting to serve Naomi. They're hungry. They're in a place where there's not a lot of food. And she goes out, I'll go, and I will get what we need. Verse number 1 of chapter 2. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean hands of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and she went and she gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come into the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Pause there briefly. She happened to go into. Looks like God's providence. God's providence that she happened to go into this place where Boaz, a relative, a kind man, she happened to go in where he could see her and interact with her. And now behold, Boaz, verse 4, came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. That shows us the character of Boaz there. The people who work for him, he goes and he calls a blessing upon them in the Lord. And they respond in like fashion. Which just says, again, a lot about who he is. He's a man of God and he's a man, and as a result, God expects kindness from him, and he is prepared to give that. Even to those who work for him, he shows that kindness and concern. Everything we do in word or deed, Colossians 3:17, we need to make sure we do it all to the glory of God. Ruth chapter 2, still here where we're at, it says, God's people, I want us to focus on the idea, if you'll go to the next part, Kevin, there. God's people are supposed to be kind, and we need to understand that Boaz is this kind of man. and we need to look at his example. He could have seen this woman, and he could have just left it at that and not asked about her, not shown any compassion or concern, but he goes further. Kindness is defined here on the screen. It says is compassionately taking an active interest in others' needs and meeting them selflessly. That's what kindness is. Being deliberate, as I said earlier, being intentional. What are things I could do for you? Look outside of self and look towards other. And Boaz does that as we continue here in chapter 2. In verse number 5, it says, "Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, 'It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab.' And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth," he goes and engages her. He goes and has a conversation. "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women." What he does immediately is makes her feel comfortable. "Stay here. Stay with my women. Be nearby. Be protected. Understand that I have concern for you." So immediately probably lessens her concern about being here. And then in verse number 9, he goes on to say, "Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." He didn't have to go that far. He just had to follow the Levitical law, which is her coming through and getting what she can. But he takes the time. One of the quotes earlier says, go that extra step. Be a little kinder than necessary. He engages her. He sees her as an individual. He asks her what she needs, and he says, "I'll protect you. Get water when you need it." Simple kindnesses, and he even went a step further. He goes on even later. He says, "Dwell here." He even hires her to be able to work there. His kindness is proactive. He made an effort. And that goes back to that idea of live deliberately. Live intentionally. When we rise, what can I do today to be kind? What can I do today to shine the light of God and Christ? 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." What can we do each and every day? Well, one of the things is be compassionate. Be selfless. Be willing to look proactively at what can I do for others. And that's the definition of kindness. The last quote on that screen said, "Go be kind." As simple as that's what I urge you to continue to do, because I'm sure you're already doing it. So as we go out into the world tomorrow and the next day and forever, know that God expects us to be kind. Kindness is compassionately taking an interest in others' needs and meeting them selflessly. And finally, when we see and receive God's kindness, it should overflow out of us. As we look at this as New Testament Christians, we of course have Christ as the ultimate example of kindness. Or you could call it mercy, or you could call it grace and all of these things. But if you look at the definition, he took interest in us. Interest enough that he came and he lived the way we lived. Faced the temptations that we felt. Understood what it was like to be a man. To be tempted, to be hungry, all those day in, day out things that we struggle with. And he compassionately then took it upon himself to give. To give his life. To give the ultimate sacrifice. So we should then turn around and it should overflow from us to be kind and compassionate. Continuing in the story of Ruth, verse number 10, it reads, "So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes, and you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?' And Boaz answered and said to her, 'It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge.'" She was kind. She did what was right, staying with Naomi, coming back. all of her kindness, and back to what was read for us at the beginning, we'll reap what we sow. She reaped kindness because she had sown kindness. It's amazing how God will work in our lives and make things work the way that they should when we do it His way. And this one simple thing is being kind. Psalm chapter 84, verse 1 really shows again who God is. And it says very plainly, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold for those who walk uprightly." That idea of kindness, God will be a sun to our path. He'll be a shield to us. It will not go unnoticed to God. And it's easy in our world, as dark and as perverse and all those things I said earlier, to sometimes think, everybody that's doing it wrong, but look at all the blessings they have. Everybody's doing it wrong, and it seems like everything in their life is perfect. And here I am trying to do it right. It can feel that way. But do not grow weary doing good works. Do not grow weary, because again, the day of salvation, our day of judgment, it's coming, and what the reward will be is far beyond anything this world can provide to us, and we have to keep our focus on that. So be kind, be kind, be kind. Romans chapter 12, and the lesson will be yours. Several verses here that, again, we all know very, very well. And I'd like to start with Romans chapter 12, verse 1, for starters. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Part of that sacrifice is being kind when you don't want to be kind. There are people that aren't easy to be kind to. There are people that you might in your mind think they don't deserve my kindness. They don't deserve me to be nice to them. They're being mean to me. But of course, we know the golden rule, Matthew 7:12, "Do unto others as you would have them," not what they did, but what you would have them to do. "Who is my neighbor?" And of course, we know the story of the Good Samaritan, anyone that has need. We need to understand that we need to be prepared to serve and be kind to anyone. Because again, that is part of our sacrifice, part of what we should be doing each and every day. And as you go on, it says, "Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." When someone has given their life for you, what is not reasonable? What is not reasonable? I know I've said this before from the pulpit here, because I'm one of those people, I, number one, don't ask for as much help as I probably need sometimes. And I'll struggle through trying to get things done because I don't want to bother other people with helping me. And I did that some with moving. Thank you to a few people who came and helped. But I didn't ask for a lot of help, but it was tough. But you realize we have to ask for help to allow others to do what God wants us to do. God wants us to serve. We need to allow people to do that. But what is our reasonable service? The reason I get to that idea is I feel so bad then when people help me. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to do something for them. I want to pay them. I want to give them a gift card. I want to now, what can I do to reciprocate? Those are just people who maybe came and helped me move. Maybe they stopped because I had a flat tire. Maybe they brought a meal when we had a baby years ago. Whatever it is that you might have done, and then I want... That's all they did. What did Christ do? Gave His life. And sometimes I think we go, well, that's too much for me to do, and you fill in the blank. He gave His life. What's not our reasonable service? And all I'm asking tonight is you look at that one fruit of the Spirit and be kind. Just go and be kind. Naomi was shown kindness by Ruth. Ruth is then shown kindness by Boaz. And ultimately, the rest of the story, of course, he ends up marrying her and ends up changing her life even more for the good. And now, too, through the kindness of her own and then the kindness of Boaz, now she knows God. She was from Moab, which was a place where they worshipped idols. And her kindness and then the kindness of Boaz and how everything worked out, now she is in a place where she knows the one true living God. And that's what we want for you today. We want you to know that there's one God. Maybe you don't realize that. Sadly, there's still some crazy teachings out there, maybe about multiple gods, or the idea that Christ, who is God, is not really God, but just a good man, or he's a prophet. But we want you to understand that he came and he lived and he died for you. We want you to know, too, that there's one church, there's one way to be saved. If you're here tonight and those things are foreign to you and things that you're unaware of, again, we'd love to study more with you. But Jesus came and lived and died, showed kindness while he was here and through his death so that we could have life. So hearing that word and understanding what Christ has done for us, that's the beginning of salvation. Next, you have to believe it. And once you believe it, then you have to repent of your sins, choose to live your life differently, and to be a more kind individual, someone more willing to serve, someone who will put others, ultimately Christ, of course, ahead of anything else. And then we ask that you would come forward and confess that Jesus is God's Son, and then be baptized. And through that baptism, you can be saved, and then you're redeemed. And then you can say, "So I will." And there's so many serving opportunities that we have that we're taught to do. But tonight, I just encourage you one more time to be kind. I hate that you couldn't see the picture, but I do want to mention what the picture was, and you could probably look it up. I don't know how old the story is, but the story is of 2 5-year-old little boys. One's a Caucasian young man, and one's an African-American young man. And they're 5 years old. And the white young man, he went home and he told his parents, "I want to get my hair cut real close," because his buddy has a real close haircut and he wore his hair kind of spiked up. He said, "Because I want to play a trick on my teacher. I want to go to school and then they won't be able to tell us apart." And when you see these two young, smiling faces, a black young man and a white little boy there, and to see the joy in their face, but to see that they don't see color, they just see somebody they like playing with, somebody they like hanging out with, and it just, again, exudes the innocence of children and what God expects of us even beyond. We've lost that innocence from the sense of becoming adults, but ultimately Christ asks us to have that innocence again. When his disciples are try to keep the children away, he says, "No, let the children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." We need to get that innocence back. Sometimes our maturity and our, you know, our wisdom and our knowledge makes us really ignorant, because race issues and hatred and all the things that we see in our society are just ignorant. And we need to make sure that we get back to what those two young boys saw. Because we, of course, rationally could see that picture. And I wish you could. Look it up. 5-year-old little boys, haircut. That's how I Google searched it, you know, and something. You'll find it. It's the cutest little picture. But the innocence of these two boys that see them as a person, not as a color and as a different race. And we need to appreciate that. And again, it's just that idea of kindness that we need to strive to have to everyone around us. And we can make a small difference in our small part of the world. And hopefully that will then resonate out to others. If you have put on Christ in baptism, but you've struggled and fallen away, we ask that you come if you have either concern tonight as we stand and as we sing for your encouragement.